All right, so here we go. Today we got all of our campuses together, which I love having everybody together. And I want a chance maybe to talk to us again about a subject that I feel like we got to keep talking about. And that is, how do I know if I'm in the will of God? You know, sometimes I get frustrated as a pastor. I really do. Because sometimes I ask people, what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do? And their answer to me, and please understand me now, when they say this, they say, I just want to do what God wants me to do. I think, listen to me now, I think that's a very trite answer. I don't think that actually, brand new Christian, okay, I get that. You with me here? Brand new Christians, we'll cut them some slack. Amen? I remember this brand new Christian used to got saved, and he was a bit of a drug dealer, and he came up to me and he'd go, Pastor, had a good week this week. Here's my tithe. And sold a lot of drugs. Here's my tithe. And I go, praise the Lord. And you go, wait a minute, you took that money? Absolutely. He gave it to the house of God. In the hands of a drug dealer, it's drug money. Put it in my hands, it's God's money. Now, if he is in a year's time coming up to me and still doing that, we'll need to talk. Amen. But, you know, I mean, as a new Christian, I just want to do what God wants me to do. Get it. But can we get past generalities? To me, it has a naive, humility. It has actually almost a misguided humility, because I'm not so sure that God wants us to be ambitionless. I'm not so sure that God wants us to be people without a vision. And when we just sit and say, I just want to do what God wants me to do, God created you for a unique purpose. Your fingerprint tells me that you are unique. And if your fingerprint is unique, that no one else on the planet will ever have the same fingerprint as you, that tells me that God made you an individual, and God has a plan and a purpose for your life that is different than the plan and purpose for my life. So let's get past, I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do, and let's find out what we're going to do. Amen. So I've got a couple of thoughts here that I know are going to help you. And this is not a message just for somebody who's a new Christian. If you've been a Christian for 30 years, I'm living in this message. Okay. And so how do I know if I'm in God's will? Number one, when my thoughts and lifestyle seeks conformity to God's will. How do I know then I'm in the will of God? You know, sometimes I ask somebody, where do you want to be in 5 years? And they don't know. Now, again, if you've been, if you're a new Christian, you're trying to figure that out, I get that. If you've been maybe gone through a major, major setback in your life and, you know, you're trying to reevaluate moments, I get that. If you've had a major emotional wounding and you're just trying to navigate which way is north again, I get that. We'll give you all the permission in the world to be in a church like this and get yourself healed. But the purpose of the healing isn't just so that you would be healed. It would be that you would regain again a sense of God's purpose and God's calling for your life, and that you might get about doing what the Lord's called you to do. Amen. And so, you know, I've met many people, and, you know, I met one person. She was the head of the infectious disease in Australia, and her goal as a nurse gave her life to Christ, and she was the head of the infectious disease wards. And this is back in the 80s when HIV was on its, you know, peak paranoid moments. And she goes, I honestly want to find the cure to AIDS. I'm thinking, that's awesome. I think that's fantastic. Another person, I want to be the Prime Minister of Australia. Another person I've met says, I want to be the President of the United States. That's awesome. I want to be the next Bill Gates. I want to be a kingdom man or a kingdom woman that resources the kingdom of God. And I want to have influence. I want to be a doctor. I want to be an educator. There's got to be something of the will of God that's passed. I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. Amen. Sometimes worship leaders, they struggle with, you know, they have this sense of like to speak out and declare what the Lord, when I lead worship, I want people to feel the power and the presence of God. And as many people as in the building, Lord, I want my gift of singing to draw people to the house of God, that when people come, they're set free of demonic powers. And people go, I don't know if God, I don't know if God's okay with that. Well, who gave you that idea? The devil? You know, and so let's have some ambition. Let's have some drive. Let's have some vision. Let's have some purpose. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What is your purpose? Amen. So let's get past, I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. Got it. Amen. Baby Christian. But can we move on? Amen. And it doesn't all happen at once. You know, we had a preacher here preach, and I love him. He's a good friend. But his theology was all screwed up on this thought about the will of God being on a razor's edge. And you can miss the will of God and you'll get to heaven and you didn't ultimately answer what God's will for your life was. And to me, I just think to myself, the will of God's unfolding. It's actually, when I first became a Christian, do you know what the will of God for me was? Okay. Number one, the first thing, God's will for my life was just get to church. That's never changed, by the way. I'm 33 years later. I'm still getting myself to church. But, you know, for me, the biggest thing as a brand new Christian was not going out with my friends and getting drunk every night of the week. That was a big deal. How many are glad to know that's not a struggle today? Praise the Lord. And, you know, doing drugs and, you know, nightclubbing and all the rest of it. I don't struggle with that anymore. You mean? I'm not trying, but that was the ultimate of the will of God in the early days. Little did I know that today, 33 years later, I'd be pastoring Wave Church, having the opportunity to influence the United States and around the world and be a great blessing to many people. So the will of God is unfolding. What I knew when I was 17, let me tell you, I know a lot more now, 51, than I did when I was 17. So it's not like it's on a razor's edge. I actually think you've got to be pretty stubborn, pretty determined, and made some premeditated choices to live outside the will of God. I think it's harder, listen to this, to live outside the will of God than it is to live inside the will of God. I live my life as if I'm always in the will of God. Now this is, I hope, a mature Christian speaking. You with me here? But I'm not praying over every decision. Lord, do I get up this morning? Do I brush my teeth? How many are glad to know I brush my teeth? Do I have a shower? Do I put on deodorant? That would be a revelation for some young men. Deodorant. Do I shampoo my hair? Praise God. Revival has come to the Kelly household. Sam has discovered shampoo. It is a miracle of all miracles. Where is he? He was in the first service, was he? Praise the Lord. Well, he's lucky because I would have called him out. Here's the bottom line, you know, but for me, I had a business guy ring me up and he had this huge business deal and an opportunity. He goes, Pastor, it's everything I've prayed for. And, you know, I'm just want to get your wisdom. And I just want to know that it's God's will. And I said, all right, is it illegal? No. Is it immoral? No. Is it what's in your heart? Yeah. What is there to pray about? Well, I mean, you know, I live my life as if I'm in the will of God. And if I make a mistake, God will speak to me. Amen. So, number one, when my thoughts and my lifestyle cease conformity with God's will. Therefore, I urge you, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, that's what Josh Coxwell did the other day, as a living sacrifice, truly and holy and pleasing to God. For this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Watch this. Then, when? When's then? When you're not conformed to the pattern of this world, but you're renewing your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will. He's good, he's pleasing, and he's perfect will. He's good, he's pleasing, and he's perfect will. I want all three of those. I want his good will, I want his pleasing will, and I want his perfect will. How do I know if I'm in the will of God? When I bring my thoughts and my lifestyle into conformity to the Word of God. Amen. So, you know, I mean, I'm going to give you some extreme examples and you'll laugh, but let me tell you, these things actually sound really ridiculous, but I've heard Christians think like this. The Lord told me to divorce this person, and then they get married to this other person. Then they come and say, the Lord told me to divorce them. And I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. Okay, you got to understand something. God is not a schizophrenic. And, you know, it's like this guy who says, you know, and the moment you put God in it, how do you argue with that? You just pull the big trump card. You hear me here? This guy got out of jail and he said to me, well, and he married a guy and got out of jail. That's good that he got out of jail. It's good that he went to jail. That's good that he got out. And it's good that while he was in jail, he became a Christian. And I mean, I genuinely think the guy became a Christian. And he came up to me and he goes, the Lord's called me back in the 80s. How many of you used to go to discos in the 80s? Can I see your hands? Come on, put your hand up. Ed Augustine, you went to discos. Come on, put your head up. I can see you getting your shake your booty. Shake your. And I used to go before I was a Christian. I think I even went once or twice after I was a Christian. And this guy said to me, the Lord's called me to go to the nightclubs and to go to the discos and to only dance with pretty young girls. And he's married, right? And so I said to the guy, I said, the Lord told you to do that? The Lord told me. I said, well, why? He goes, well, because I'm married, I won't be tempted. Like, dude, you're an idiot. Being married doesn't mean you don't get tempted. Amen. All the married people said. You're a little quiet on that, but it's we can go there. And he said, well, and it's not, he goes, my concern is that the young men in the church, there's not enough pretty young girls, so I'm going to dance with the pretty ones so as to witness to them, to bring them to Christ, so that these young men might have a good choice of women. And he honestly thought the Lord told him to do it. That's my point. How do I know if I'm in the will of God? Okay, well, some people are kind of really, well, it's God's will, I have a partner, it's God's will that I not be alone. So then they go out of the church and look in a nightclub for a partner. All right, you're not going to find God's will in a nightclub. And by the way, I'm not so sure you're going to find God's will in church if you're not all that committed to church. Because if you're not a little committed to the house of God and you're praying, God, give me a fine, beautiful, on fire for God Christian woman, why would God afflict you with her? I mean, why would God afflict her with you? That came out wrong. Why would God afflict her with you? A fine, on fire for God Christian woman, and you're mediocre and you're... I mean, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Come on, can we talk? So how do I know if my life is how do I know if I'm living in the will of God? When my thoughts and my lifestyle are in conformity with God's word. Amen. And you're looking at somebody who still to this day is constantly adjusting my thoughts to keep them in line and my lifestyle with the will of God. I'm not saying I've been perfect at it, but I'm determined to be consistently seeking to make any adjustment when the Lord says, Steve, you can't think that thought. Casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought into the knowledge and the obedience of Christ. Amen. And you're looking at somebody who's ever conscious of needing to renew my mind, and as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you go down that train of thought, that train's got a destination. Amen. And you allow to get yourself on that train of thought, it's going to lead you somewhere. So how do I know that I'm living in the will of God when actually I'm genuinely seeking for my thoughts and my lifestyle, listen to it, to be in conformity with the word of God. Amen. That means going to church. That means having a J-O-B. Not being a parasite, living off everybody else's faith. Amen. That means having enough for myself and to be able to take care of others who are in need. Come on, someone say amen. You know, just in terms of life. And so, you know, hobbies, making sure my hobbies and my passions are in line with the wisdom and the will of God. Amen. When it comes to my giving, it's in line. My priorities, I'm bringing my thoughts and my lifestyle in line with the word of God. If I'm spending more in my sporting endeavors than I am for God's house, something's wrong. Amen. Nothing wrong with sporting endeavors. I'm an outdoors guy. Anybody knows me knows I love to shoot guns. Not people, guns. Amen. I love it. I love to water ski. I love the boat. I love the scuba dive. I love the fish. It is the will of God that you go fishing. Amen. I love to ride motorcycles. Riding motorcycles is the will of God. Hallelujah, David's son. That's a really good thought right there. Hallelujah, David's son. It is the will of God that you ride a Harley Davidson. Hallelujah, David's son. That's what I'm just saying. It's biblical right there. And that's why we have Harley Davidson motorcycle parking lot out the front, all other bikes around the back. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have a Vespa, we have a special place for you. It is the will of God that we live life and we enjoy life. But make sure that those things don't take you away from the will of God. And make sure those things don't become a distraction from God's will and plan and purpose for your life. Amen. So when I first became a Christian, guess what I was doing? I was thinking about, okay, how do I get my life in line with the word of God? And they said, go to a Bible study. So I went to a Bible study. I've been going to one ever since. And so go to church. I've been going to church ever since. It is the will of God. Amen. But now, okay, then the opportunity became for a youth leader. And that was awesome. A Bible study leader. Then a youth leader. Then I was the assistant youth leader. Then I was ordained as a youth pastor. And those early days, I didn't have a lot of great big thoughts about youth ministry. But as you commit your works to the Lord, your thoughts do get established. And as I was doing it, all of a sudden, thinking became clearer. And as I was doing things, you'll never know what to do with your life unless you're doing something. You got to get on a bus. You got to do something. Maybe ultimately may not always lead to ultimate what God's called you to do, but you got to get involved somewhere, somehow. You got to press in. You got to engage. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts get established. That's why when people try and tell me how we should run Wave Church and they don't do anything for God and they're not serving in the house of God, I go, dude, you don't have established thinking. Commit your works to the Lord, your thoughts will get established. I'm thinking bigger thoughts now than I've ever thought in my life in Jesus' name. You with me here? First, as a youth pastor, now whatever that is for you, business person, educator, science, medicine, sport, you know, media, government, politics, whatever it is, you just commit your works to the Lord, bang! Your thinking suddenly gets focused. Amen? Here's the second thing, when I'm prospering, how do I know if I'm in the will of God? When I'm prospering, I'm in the will of God. God wants you to get good with good. This last week, I was down in San Diego, California, speaking at a pastor's conference, and a young man who's 4 months a Christian, a very, very famous songwriter, extremely famous in the songwriting world, one of the best in America, and brand new Christian, 4 months old, and we're having dinner late one night in San Diego, and we got talking at the end of the night, and I could tell this guy is just giving his life to Jesus, but comes from a very interesting world, to say the least, and I just went up to him at the end of the night, I said, dude, man, how you doing? He goes, yeah, I'm doing good, and how you doing with all, you know, what kind of a change has it made in your life? And he goes, I'm just trying to figure it all out. I said, here's the deal, man. Here's what you got to do. You just got to get good with good. And he looked at me, goes, that's profound. What do you mean by that? I said, God's brought good into your life. And you're afraid that if everybody gets to know the real you, they won't like you. So you're thinking, maybe I need to end this thing before it goes too far. He goes, absolutely. I said, you're uncomfortable good. All you've ever known was heartache and devastation and brokenness. And you're thinking, is this too good to be true? And he's looking at me going, man, you're reading my mail. I said, here's what you got to do. God's good, man. And God is good. And God is bringing new things into your life. And you're afraid, can you keep this up? And the good news is, no, you can't. But God can in you. And he who began a work in you will accomplish it, and just relax and enjoy the journey and just get good with good. Because that's what a lot of Christians have got to do. Some people are addicted to crisis. Some people are addicted. And if there is no crisis, they'll create a crisis because they're more comfortable in a crisis than they are out of a crisis. Amen? So you just got to get good with good. Look at the Bible says, 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health, even as yourself prospers. Come on. Hey, the Bible, it wishes above everything else, of all that the Bible could pray for you. I pray that you prosper. That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Prosper. Now, I know what some people do. Ah, here he is, talking about money again. Oh, it includes money, but if that's all you make it, then that's all it is. But prospering is about having a good, healthy family, having a good marriage, getting on well with your neighbors. When you walk into a room, that you bring something that people feel like life has walked into the room. Prosper is about the presence of God. It's the absence of sickness. It's the absence of poverty. Show me any nation that turned its back on God, and I'll show you a nation that's in poverty, that also oppresses women for that matter as well. See, the presence of God brings blessing. And here the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. How do I know if I'm in the will of God, if my life is prospering? Not without persecution, not without opposition, not without challenges, but what's coming out of my life is the blessing of God. What's coming out of my mouth are the words of faith and opportunity and increase and breakthrough, and God's a God of the comeback. How do I know if I'm prospering? If I can just get good with good. Amen. Turn to the person next to you. This is a word for you. Praise the Lord. Number three, listen to this. It is not the will of God, by the way, for you to be sick, and it is not the will of God for you to be poor. Somebody say amen. Amen. When I seek to grow in the knowledge of God's will. How do I know if I'm in the will of God? When I seek to grow in the knowledge of God's will. It says in verse 9, Colossians chapter 1. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you, watch this, with the knowledge of his will. I continually pray for you since I've heard about your faith, and I'm praying that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will. What do you want to do with your life? I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. That's not the prayer Paul is praying for these Colossians. He's going, I'm praying that you be filled with the knowledge of what his will for your life is. And then he goes on and he gives us a bit of a clue what it is. Through all spiritual wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you might live a life that is worthy of the Lord, pleases him in every way, bears fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. You can be filled with the knowledge of God. Amen. Now, if you're a baby Christian, man, we welcome you. We applaud you, but please don't stay there. Amen. Be determined to get on the journey. Be determined to grow as a Christian. I got to tell you, yesterday, I've been away all week down in San Diego speaking at this conference. And I got to tell you, I'm a homeboy at the best of days. I like being home. I think God has a sense of humor. I just got another letter from United Airlines saying I've done another 1,000,000 miles with them. And what would I like now as a gift? And I'm going, sometimes I feel like, your address. Sometimes I feel like writing, row 2, seat A. Do you know what I mean? That's my address. I think that's my address. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, I was home yesterday. Alyssa rang me up and we had some bridal party happening. What was it? Bridal shower. And also the house was full of girls. And Alyssa said, Dad, could you look after Jax? Grandpa, his first babysitting assignment. 7 weeks old. And I said, I've got this. And I got Jax in my arms. And I am totally smitten with this kid. And it's the role of skipper to get Jax to sleep. And I put Jax to sleep. Oh, it was, he was down. I'm taking photos. Yay. But then I'm thinking, dang it, I want to play with this kid. He woke up, just little poke in the belly. And his eyes opened up and he smiled. I said, yes. And then he started screaming, crying. So I gave him to Mum. Mum fed him. I got him back again. This time I thought, I'm going to put this kid to sleep. And I got to tell you something. I love being home. And I love being with this little boy. I can't wait to see all that he's going to become. The thing that's really striking me right now is, what's he going to do with his life? And God, let everything that I can do that can add to his confidence, everything I can do that can add to his foundation, I'll do it all. I'll do anything for this kid. I'm telling you, I'd do anything for this kid. And I know I'm going to feel the same way about all of them. Can I tell you something? If you're a baby Christian, I have just as much excitement for you. I want to do this to you. Let's see what God's going to do with your life. I can't wait to see. I mean, let me give you a scripture here that's going to help you understand what I'm trying to say. In 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his what? Will, he what? Hears us. And this is the confidence that we ask anything. Listen to this. In accordance to his will, he hears us. So sometimes I hear Christians pray and I want to stop them. I just want to go, shh, don't pray that prayer. Because this is the prayer they'll pray. Lord, if it's your will, let this church grow. What do you mean? If it's your, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I know what the will of God is about a church growing. Lord, if it's your will, bless my business. Hold it, stop. God's presence brings blessing. So why are you praying, if it's your will, bless me? Lord, if it's your will, let this person be healed. What a waste of a prayer. Let's get past if it. This is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything and in accordance to his will, so let's just find out what the will of God is and then pray with the confidence that when we know it's his will, he hears us and he answers us. Let's get past if, maybe, who knows? It is the will of God that you are healed. It is the will of God that you're healthy. It is the will of God that you're blessed and you're prospering. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Come on. Get good with good. Get some confidence. Find out, Lord, if it's your will, let me be a good husband. Oh, please stop. God wants you. God wants you. Lord, how can I be a better husband? How can I be a better business person? Come on, someone say amen. Stop the if. This is the confidence we have. Amen. And when you know what his will is, you can pray with confidence in a knowledge to accordance to. Number four, watch this. How do I know if I'm in the will of God? When I delight myself in the Lord. Who's ever heard this? Don't ever tell God you don't want to go to Africa because he'll send you there. You ever heard that? Don't ever tell the Lord you don't want to go somewhere, because that'll be the... Nothing can be further from the truth. That's not my Bible. That's not my Bible. Here's what I believe. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? It means when you delight yourself in him, then the desires that you have are God-given. They're not yours. God gave them to you. Do you think the devil gave you the desire to be a blessed business person, to resource the kingdom? Do you think the devil gave you the desire to be a worship leader, to bring the presence of God? Do you think the devil's the one that desires to bring opportunity? The Bible says the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the desires you have are God-given. If you just delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires. Am I talking to anybody here today? Now watch this. Number five, how do I know if I'm in the will of God? When the peace of God is the umpire of my heart. Colossians 3 verse 15. Look what the Bible says. It says in Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ or the peace of God rule in your heart. Now you look that word up and literally it means umpire. It means referee. Now I love football. How many love NFL? I love football. Amen. Praise God. Go the Jets in Jesus' name. Amen. Not getting a lot of love. Where's all my New York fan base? Anybody here a fan of New York at least? Go the Giants. Go the Mets. Yankees suck. And but you know, here's the thing. The thing about a good referee is you only ever hear from him if somebody's not playing by the rules. They're not to determine the outcome of the game. They're there to make sure people play according to the rules. So if NFL, somebody does, there's too many players on the field, the referee has to go, "Whoa, foul, too many players." If somebody grabs a face mask, the referee stops play. And by the way, you've noticed the referee never turns around to the grandstand and says to the people sitting in the grandstand, "Excuse me, in the wrong seat." You know what I mean? They don't care what's happening with the spectators. They don't even pay attention to who's on the sidelines. The only thing they're interested in is who's on the field and who's playing the game. Now, the Bible says, "Let the peace of God be the umpire of your heart." In other words, you'll never know what the will of God is unless you're on the field doing something. And you're on the field and you play the game. "Lord, is it your will I run with the ball?" Yes, run. Okay? But if you do something wrong, you know what I mean? And you'll never know the will of God unless you're doing something with your life. Live your life as if you're in the will of God. And if you do something wrong, the umpire is going to blow a whistle. But you're not going to hear the whistle if you're not on the field. And maybe ultimately what the Lord's called you to do has got nothing to do with what you're doing right now. But the very fact that you're on the field right now doing something means God can work with you. So you're not going to hear from the umpire unless you're playing the game. Unless you're making sure you're only two decisions away from a right one. Amen. The peace of God. Man, who's ever heard the Holy Spirit blow the whistle? Isn't it funny how what can be out of bounds for your life cannot be out of bounds for someone else's life? I mean, for instance, somebody who's an alcoholic, alcohol in any way, shape, or form is out of bounds for them. You know what I mean? But for somebody else, it's not an issue. And maybe for them, they can have a glass. They can have a glass or two. But for someone else, it's out of bounds. Okay? You just got to learn to let the peace of God. My timer's going off, but I don't know where my timer is. Praise the Lord. Where is it? Oh, it's there. Praise God. You hit it. Someone's clapping because my timer went off. I'm just trying to say, come on. Just get your life and learn to realize, live your life as if you are in the will of God, and then let the peace of God be the umpire of that in Jesus' name. Amen. How do I know if it's the will of God? Make some choices. Live life. 2/3 of God's name is go. Get off your blessed assurance and do something with your life. Don't just be sitting there in neutral. The devil would love you in neutral. God, deliver us from neutral. Ugh, neutral, boring. You're not going anywhere. Come on. Amen. Now, if you're in neutral because you need healing, we're going to heal you. We're going to love on you. And we're going to make sure that your neutral is a safe place. Right. Amen. But the purpose of the healing is to get you up and get you going again. All right, I got to close. Just write these down. How do I know if I'm the will of God? When I've got a soft, repentant heart. When I keep a soft, repentant heart. How do I know if I'm in the will of God? Number 7, when I live a submitted life. Praise the Lord. No point in saying to God, you're submitted to him, but you can't respect police. But let me just say something about this, because I'm seeing a lot of stuff right now in the media and about when a policeman pulls someone over. And the lip and the attitude some people are giving the police, you're unsubmitted. You better know when someone pulls you over, they have all the authority. Now, I got to give you this verse. I'm sorry. I got to give it to you because some of you are going to get a little funny with me right now, and I'm just going to let you get a little funny with me. Okay? Look what the Bible says. Go away. Where am I? Praise God. This thing's trying to tell me things. It says, 1 Peter 2, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Okay? It says, whether to the emperor, or to the as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. And the Bible says, listen to this, submit yourself to every human authority. Do you know when I go through TSA at the airport? I remember just recently, it just happened to me. I went through TSA and I actually had my scuba diving knife with me, and I didn't know it was in my bag, it was in my carry-on. So when they said, "Mr. Kelly, you've got a big knife in your bag," I said, "I've been looking everywhere for that. What pocket is it in?" And they said, and then when they pulled it out, it's
anyway, they just went, oh, Mr. Kelly, you so can't have this. I said, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. They said, we're going to have to walk you out of the airport. And I had someone come and collect it. I said, no problem. I get it. I made a mistake. I broke the rule. And they escorted me out. Then I walk back in. Now it's a different. Now I actually know a lot of the TSA people. And so I walk back in as a different person. I went through the same pre-TSA line as I did before. And the guy starts yelling at me. You're in the wrong line. And I go, oh, sorry, where would you like me to be? You're in the wrong line. He's got all the authority. You hear me? I said, okay, I'm sorry. Where would you like me to go? You're in the wrong line. I said, yep, got it. Where would you like me? I could say, well, what flipping line do you want me to go to? How many know that's only going to make it worse? Come with me, Mr. Kelly. I got all the authority in the world. And I'm going, oh, tell me where to go. Well, you're not supposed to be there. I said, uh-huh. Where do you want me? Now, they're already cutting me some slack. I just brought a knife in. You know what I'm saying? I'm being nice. And then I had passengers come up to me later and say, man, that guy just yelled at you and ripped on you. And you were so nice. And I said, hey, he's got all the authority. He's got it. He's in charge. He's TSA. When a policeman pulls me over, a policeman pulls me, I go, yes, sir. No, ma'am. Here is my license. I'm not giving them lip. I know my rights. They have the authority. Girls run from someone who's a rebel toward authority. They are not in the will of God, and you don't want to be attached to somebody who's not in the will of God. Now, that is not about condoning some of the things that have happened and some of the abuses and misuses. I'm just saying, as far as your heart's concerned, make sure that you understand the power of submission, because the level of authority that you have in your life will only be determined by the amount of authority you can get under. Come on, someone say amen. And if you're running around with a chip on your shoulder, mad at the boss, thinking the boss should give you more time off, and you think you're submitted, but you're taking a 20-minute coffee break, and you're only given a 15-minute coffee break, and if work starts at 9 a.m., and you're pulling into the parking lot of your job at 9 a.m., you're late. By the time you get inside, get yourself together, get at your desk, and start doing your job, it's 10 past. You get paid to start work at 9 o'clock, which means you pull into the parking lot at 9 a.m. You get in, get your stuff together, find yourself. When that office is ready and open, you are there. Same for church. Amen? That's how you know. And people, well, God, why won't you bless me? Because whatever you sow, you shall reap. Man, I love you. I'm just glad you come. You ever hear? But when promotion comes, don't be surprised if you get overlooked. When God wants to, how do I know if I'm in God's will? Did it help anybody today?